So there's a lot in that reading, and lots of different ways that I could go with this sermon, and I thought about a couple different approaches, and I'm kind of not taking any of them. So all of the stuff that you're struggling with in that scripture, I'm not really going to address right now. So sorry about that. But we'll talk about it sometime. The reason why is because there was this video that's been going around the internet that I saw last week. And early in the week, there was a Board of Education meeting in a county in South Carolina that was dealing with the issue of a transgender boy who wanted to use the boys' bathroom at a school, the gender that he identifies with. And at this board meeting, there were about 500 adults there holding up signs against this boy doing what he would like to do. And they were very vocal in their opposition. And in this room full of people, one person stood up. This one woman stood up supporting the boy, supporting transgender people, supporting the right for people to use the bathroom of the gender that they identify with. And as she talked and as she tried to stand up for the oppressed, other adults in the room began to drown her out by singing, "Jesus Loves You." Paul is writing to people and drawing a line in the sand, saying this is what it means to be a Christian. If you don't believe in a full bodily resurrection, then how can you call yourself Christian? The people in that Board of Education meeting were drawing a line in the sand, saying, how can you possibly be a Christian if you don't believe the gender is just cut and dry, that there are only two genders, that the outside of our bodies must match what's in our hearts and in our minds? Their reaction is not what I believe a Christian would do or should do. See, Paul's argument here is, well, I've told you what I've seen, and others have told you what they've seen. How can you not believe then? We've seen the risen Christ, you must believe it. And there's a lot of that same kind of thinking in some of the arguments about transgenderism, transgender identity. Everybody says, well, this is my experience. For me personally, I only know what it's like to identify with the way that my body looks. My gender identity matches the gender that I was assigned at birth. For me to just be in my head and say, well, everybody needs to feel exactly the way that I feel, doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't believe that it's the way that Jesus teaches us. According to the National Center for Transgender Equality, a month ago, when they looked at it, there were 49 state-level bills in different states that had been introduced in 2016, legislative sessions that contain provisions that the center believes target transgender people. Now, fortunately, a lot of those have already died in committee or have been voted down, but there are still 12 that are considered active, where states are looking to legalize discrimination against transgender people. Many of them are focused on these so-called bathroom bills, saying that people should only be able to use the bathroom that matches the gender that they were assigned at birth. And the argument that they use is that it's a safety issue. That it's often focused on transgender women, that if a woman who was assigned male at birth enters a bathroom, that they can cause harm, that they can attack our daughters and our wives. Even though there is absolutely no evidence that anything like that has ever happened in any state, in any city, in any town. In fact, the opposite is true. UCLA's Williams Institute reports that nearly 70% of transgender people have said that they have experienced verbal harassment in situations involving gender-segregated bathrooms. And nearly 10% have reported being physically attacked. 54% of respondents to a Williams Institute survey reported experiencing physical problems based on being transgender and refusing or being scared to use the bathroom that matches their identity. Many transgender people simply choose to not use public bathrooms. We're talking about school children, kids in college, people at work. And 54% say that because of that, they suffer from dehydration, urinary tract infections, kidney problems, all caused by avoiding public restrooms. North Carolina had one of the most publicized bathroom bills. The day after news broke, phone calls to a suicide hotline focusing on transgender youth nearly doubled to almost 400 a day. And this is a population that already has a rate of suicide and suicide attempts around 40%. And so when these Christians start singing Jesus Loves You, which Jesus loves me, the unspoken lyric there is Jesus loves me and Jesus doesn't love you for who you are. Now, we do a lot of saying everybody is welcome. We don't draw lines in the sand. We say anybody can believe what they want and act as they want. But sometimes I wonder if we need to start drawing some lines. Because when we say everybody's welcome, what we mean is we're doing an outreach for people who have been oppressed, people who have been outcast, people who have been left out. Flowers that have been left on the floor. But sometimes people think that that also means that we're opening up the door for the ones who are doing the oppressing. And we need to take a stand. So how do we do that? Well, there are a few things that we do. 3 years ago, we expanded our open and affirming statement to specifically mention a welcome to everyone, regardless of gender identity and expression. As part of that, we've visited the signage, we visited the language that we use in our bulletins, and we try to be very cautious and careful about being gender specific. You'll notice I never split voices between men and women or anything gender-specific like that. We were fortunate that our facilities had already had a bathroom that's single stall, so we changed the signage on it so that it doesn't say anything about male or female, that it's for all genders, that everyone is welcome. So these are ways that we take a stand, but I'm not sure if we're being quite public enough in our faith. So one of the things that I'd like to do this week is to hang a transgender pride flag up on our church next to our rainbow flag. This is a public declaration of our faith, of our belief that all are created in God's image. In the creation story in Genesis, it says God created them, male and female, God created them. Doesn't actually say one was male and one was female. It doesn't say, and this is the only way it will be for everyone. Jesus talks about, I forget the scripture reading offhand, but Jesus says, some were born eunuchs, some have chosen to be eunuchs, some were made eunuchs by others. And it's not a direct correlation, but I believe that it's Jesus talking about an acceptance of everybody, of people who don't fall into gender binaries, of people who don't fall into the quote-unquote normal. And so by hanging this flag outside of our church, I believe that we continue to widen our welcome. We continue to throw our doors open to a population that is continually being oppressed, to a population that hears the message, Jesus loves me but doesn't love you. And so I want to expand our welcome so that we let everyone know, Jesus loves you. Paul says, what matters is that we keep preaching and that you have faith in this message. He says, I am who I am because of God's grace. One of the arguments that people made in South Carolina is that God doesn't make mistakes. I agree with that. I don't believe God makes mistakes. I believe that God created all of us exactly the way that we are. Male, female, transgender, agender, intersex. There are so many different ways of being, and all made in the image of God. And so we're called to support our transgender siblings. And I hope that you'll join me in this. If we hang this sign outside of our church, I hope that you can have a public witness as well, that you can stand up to discrimination against trans people, that you can offer your support, that you can let people know that it's Christ's love that sets this foundation for you. I have to put one reminder out there, one kind of don't do this. Many of us have somebody, or more than somebody, more than one somebody that we love, who we know is transgender. It's important to remember that that story is their story. That it's not up to us to out them to anyone else. It's not up to us to say, hey, I know that whoever is transgender. But we can say, somebody that I love and care for is transgender. And your discrimination breaks my heart. And I fully support them for who they are. So offer your support, offer your love, and let everyone know that you're doing it because of God's grace. Because without God's grace, we are nothing. Without Jesus' grace, we are nothing. And there are some lines in the sand that others will draw saying that this is what it means to be a Christian. But I hope that you'll join me in declaring that support for everyone, support for the outcasts, support especially for our transgender siblings, is what it means to be a Christian. Can I get an amen?